Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. For the next 53 minutes or so, we will be chatting here with members of the Manhattan City Commission. We've got actually one commissioner and the city manager. City Manager Ron Fear joins us and Mayor Wynn Butler. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. The meeting is tonight, 7 p.m. There's a few different agenda items we will get to here, but I thought I might just start here today. I know you guys have had some outside of City Commission meetings here. You had the discussion on the strategic plan on Friday, and I know that was for a few hours via Zoom, and wanted to just kind of get your thoughts on how that went and the progress that was made. I'll start with you, Mr. Fear.
Sure. Thanks, Brandon. So we did kick off the strategic planning process with the commission with Planning Next, our consulting firm out of Ohio. They've been quickly gathering some of our demographic and other economic data for the community and shared that with the commission and just shared about the process that the plan to utilize to develop the strategic plan. Probably at least an 8-month process, but the goal is to try and get some draft version of the plan, you know, ideally within 6 months, so it could inform at least some of the 2022 budget development. And they also interviewed commissioners prior to that event, so had some kind of idea. We had also had a survey that we did of city employees. So they were able to contribute at least through that survey, which provided a little bit of background. But it was really more focused on, you know, a high level overview of the community and, you know, what are some of the goals for the community and what do we want to be, and revisited the city's mission statement, and we want to make some adjustments to that and those aspects. So it really kind of was starting off getting appointed, but also really talking about some of the various aspects and almost a mini, you know, SWOT analysis, strength, weaknesses, not in detail, just the start. And so beyond that, there'll be a community committee that will help, as well as a staff technical committee and more engagement with city departments, as well as the community group, as well as some stakeholder groups.
All right. Well, Mr. Butler, going forward, what are some things you'd like to see the strategic plan kind of?
Well, the main thing that I was encouraged with, because we tend to, you know, be all over the map on what we think. I like their format, because I've always taught when I was teaching at the community college, I taught the Deming management method and strategic planning. They've got the Deming management method format, you know, which starts off with a vision, which is an ideal state in the future you're going to accomplish 10 or more years out. And then a mission statement, which I think the city's got a solid one and it doesn't need to be tinkered with at this point. And then underneath that, goals, which are, again, you know, broad based. But then under the goals, specific objectives that hone it. And what you do is you tie all that together. Now, if we can accomplish that, we'll have a good strategic plan, because that format is solid.
All right. And again, that's just the first step of it. This is what you said, about a 6-month process run?
Yeah, it's going to be probably a minimum of 6, probably closer to 8 to 9.
All right. And I've always heard, you know, the people in the community maybe don't understand the reason why you do something like this, but I've heard from some city officials in the past that this is, you got to have some sort of a roadmap. You got to kind of know what the next step is, have some sort of a goal that you're trying to achieve or work to.
It is, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've never developed a strategic plan specifically for the city as an organization. And that's what a big part of it is. So, you know, really focusing on the services we provide and how we provide those. And that's going to be an important component of that moving forward. And, you know, if your aspirations as a community is to be at a certain level, then what's the support network to develop that? And so those are a big component of it. And then just looking at, you know, within internally with the city departments, we've been trying to focus in on organizational excellence initiatives, looking at different aspects of whether it's retaining trained workers or recruiting folks, workers, but then just our overall working conditions and atmosphere and CIP program and all of those things. So it's primarily a plan for us as an organization, but it's also a community plan and the services that the city provides to its constituents and the taxpayers, and how do we deliver those, and what's the aspirations of the community as a result of this organization. You know, we did a Greater Manhattan and Region Reimagine project a few years ago that was led by the Chamber, and that was more of a community-based plan for really focusing on our business community as well as the university and Fort Riley and other aspects of that. And so this is more of a put the magnifying glass on the city as an organization, as well as our workforce and the services we provide.
All right, so that's kind of thinking big picture, long term. I know you guys have also been working on some of the short term issues too, like the upcoming budget and what that may look like here in the next fiscal year. And there's some real tough decisions I know that you guys are working through trying to accomplish here. We spoke to members of the Parks and Rec Department yesterday, and it sounds like we're going to probably see more cuts there here in 2021, maybe into 2022 as well. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Sure. So one of the things that's really been the unknown during the pandemic is what is going to happen to our revenue streams. And last year, we had made some pretty dire predictions, anticipating that our sales taxes would be down anywhere from 15% to 30%. Fortunately, that didn't materialize, but we were still off about 2%. But if you look at our overall revenue streams, all of our main revenue sources were down, whether that's and some of them very significantly, like transient guest taxes. And that's likely to continue to be very slow to recover for our entertainment and dining and not so much dining, although they've been impacted as well. Our hospitality industries and hotel and motels, conferencing, all of those kind of things, events that draw people to our community. And that, you know, part of that is going to be when are those folks going to be comfortable? Is it going to be once 60% of the people are vaccinated before they're interested and start meeting in person again for special events? So and engagement. So those are going to be some components. So we just don't know. We were lucky. We did get a little bit of CARES money last year that really made the difference for us. You know, are we going to get another round this year? I think we'll get some. I don't know that it'll be a lot. You know, one of our biggest challenges we have really in just gearing a backup for services is one of the things we did is we put a hiring freeze in place, and we were down about 28 positions, many in various departments and a lot in Parks and Rec, just because we didn't hire any of those summer seasonals. We had a lot of vacancies. And in this era of the pandemic, it's been interesting. People really don't know what's going to happen. So there's a lot of our recruitment efforts are slower than normal in trying to replace those positions. So gearing back up and filling critical positions and able to open facilities and operate those facilities is one of our challenges. And so, you know, we're certainly going to do the best we can, but we did indicate, and there's a lot of subsidy in the Parks and Recreation programs. And so that's one of the challenges we have, and certainly one of the areas that we focused on, but we're going to do our best to have some service offerings, looking at, opening at least two pools. And one of the challenges we have there is not just in having the people that can physically get the pools ready and the water chemistry right and safe and keep it that way, because we've got shortages of staff in that area too. It's the operations of the pools and the guards. By not having a pool season last year, we lost a whole class of guards. And we typically get about 60 to 70% repeat business from our guards. So once we have them, they're pretty good and loyal about staying with us. But when we didn't have them, that's a whole class that was lost and moved on to other opportunities. So that's going to be one of those challenges. And we're optimistic. I mean, we've been in communication with some of our previous employees that we'll be able to do it. And looking at our two most our largest pools and newest pools with City and Northview, and we'll just see where that ends up. But it'll be a challenge for us and other programs that we can provide some offering, and then still not knowing, you know, what the rules are going to be from a pandemic standpoint as far as occupancy and those kind of things. So those are all issues that we're doing significant planning for as we approach the spring and summer.
All right, I'm going to bring on Mr. Butler here. You know, living in a city like Manhattan, the Parks Department's one of the most vibrant things here that makes the community go. What are your thoughts here on making cuts to Parks Department?
Well, we got a lot of emails. People want the pools open. They want things to get back to normal. And with the health department, you know, hitting the vaccines, they finished phase one. They're doing phase two. A lot of the elderly that got, you know, other issues are being vaccinated first. So I think we're pulling out of this thing. And so we need to look at it as saying, okay, we'll probably have success with this Operation Warp Speed vaccine thing, you know, by the summer. And that's the attitude we've got to have. And to send the right message to get business going and to get everything open back up, Parks and Rec going to play a big role in that because, you know, it attracts people here like Blue Earth Plaza. You know, trying to close that stream is just not a good plan because that's going to attract people downtown. You know, there was heavy use of that every year. Now, maybe we got to sacrifice Seco Pool. I don't know, you know, how difficult it's going to be to get the guards. I noticed that we finally started advertising for them last Friday because I checked the website on Thursday. There wasn't anything up there. But Friday, you know, it said, hey, we're looking for guards. And I sent that information to several people that had actually contacted me and said, hey, my kids were guards 2 years ago. What's the deal? And they said they were going to apply. So, you know, if you're out there and you're interested in being a lifeguard, that's the number one thing. Sign up. We'll get you trained. And let's get the pools open. The other thing I think is important is in Parks and Rec, you can implement what I call lean principles. That's another Deming thing, lean manufacturing, lean management. And they've done some of that. And what you do is you cut out the waste. Like one of the excellent things Parks and Rec has done is they've stopped doing some of the mowing. Okay. And in other words, some of the areas are not being mowed, but they're being set up to attract butterflies, birds, things like that. And so you don't need to mow everything. Shutting down the Stingray in City Park Pool that required two guards for one person to use it and the operation of it probably makes sense, you know, to just close that because we're not getting a bang for the buck out of that. So there's a number of things that can be done that I don't think will adversely affect the Parks and Rec offerings. But people are interested in, you know, they want to go to the pools. They want to see some youth sports. And it is a challenge for Eddie and the crew down there. We're asking a lot of them to make this happen. But I really believe it's the catalyst to get everything going again. We got to get this city going, you know, generate that tax revenue and make things happen. Because Ron is right. You know, a lot of internet sales, we got compensating use taxes that made it up. So we only lost 2%. But if you go look at restaurant receipts, 30% down. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you go buy a beer in a local restaurant, that tax on that beer goes where? A third to the general fund, a third to Parks and Rec, and a third to social services. And so, you know, we've taken a 30% hit there. And so that's what we got to catch back up. Now, what does that mean? You know, vaccine things got to keep rolling. We got to loosen the occupancy and fill those restaurants. But more important, people have to get out of the panic mode. You know, because a lot of people are still afraid. It's not going to matter if you open it up. They still may not go because they don't feel confident. And so somehow or other, we've got to get that confidence back out there. And I think we're headed in that direction.
All right. Well, we got to take a break. We've got more discussion coming up here about tonight's meeting. Mayor Wynn Butler, City Manager Ron Fear joining us here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.